One of the most precious moments of the week occurs every Friday night at the Shabbos table when fathers get up and give a bracha to their sons. They lean forward and they place their hands on their son's head and they say, Yisimcha aleikim ke'Ephraim u'kemenashe. They lovingly tell their sons that Hashem should make them like Ephraim and Menashe. You ever wonder for a second why we tell our sons to be specifically like Ephraim and Menashe? Why not Levi and Yehuda, or Yisachar and Zvulun, or Reuven and Shimon? Why, out of all the illustrious Shvatim, do we choose to evoke Ephraim and Menashe's name to bless our children? So the answer generally given is that there is a fundamental difference between Ephraim and Menashe and the rest of the Shvatim. Ephraim and Menashe were not born Shvatim, they became Shvatim. The other sons grew up in a home completely enveloped in holiness. Gigantic spiritual figures like Yaakov and Yitzchak towered over them. They grew up in the shadow of their great-grandfather Avram and the famous Yeshivas Shem Ve'Ever. Ephraim and Menashe grew up in Egypt. They grew up in exile. They grew up alone. They grew up as the lonely Jews in a sea of Egyptian immorality. They rode the same subways we ride. They walked through the same airports we walk through. They also had to walk down Pico Boulevard and Bathurst and Route 9 and Reisterstown and Collins Avenue and Wall Street. They grew up in an environment where one had to choose to be good, for the standard was bad. And grow up they did. They fought and they climbed and they persevered, and they not only made it through alive, they climbed to be on the level of a Shevet, a group of the 12 most elite people in history. When we bless our children, we know that they may not have a father like Yaakov or a grandfather like Avram, but we tell them that we know deep inside they have the ability to be like Ephraim and Menashe. They have the fighting spirit deep within so that no matter what the world offers, they can choose good. They can soar the same way Ephraim and Menashe soared. In the history of Jewish lullabies, there is one that for sure is the reign supreme. There's one that has been sung for literally thousands of years, and we can accurately label it the mother of all Jewish lullabies. It is the song of Hamalach HaGoyaloisi. It is those soft words Yaakov said to Yosef's sons, Ephraim and Menashe, upon blessing them. But the end of the pasuk is strange. It's peculiar. It says, V'yidgu l'arayv b'kerev ha'aretz. Translated, it means, you should multiply like fish within the land. Now, why fish? Didn't Hashem already tell Avram that we're going to be like the stars and the sand? Why is he blessing us to be like fish? And also, what does it mean that we should be like fish within the land? Last time I checked, fish don't live on land, they live in the water. So what does it mean? So Reb Shamsher from Rafael Hirsch gives a very enlightening explanation. He says, we are blessing our children that the same way one can stand near the ocean and see only water, completely, utterly unaware of the unbelievably dazzling world that exists beneath the surface, similarly we tell our children, outsiders will look at you and be completely, utterly unaware of the beauty and purity hidden beneath the surface. We are telling our children that the life of Torah is the greatest life, it is the purest life, it is the holiest life, it is the most harmonious life. We may be in ghettos and in cattle cars and in DP camps. It makes no difference. We are alive like fish beneath the sea. Listen to this unbelievable quote from a Polish man, non-Jewish man, writing from beyond the ghetto walls of the Warsaw Ghetto. Quote, I found a crack in the Warsaw Ghetto wall the other day and I stole a glance. I'd expect to see humans in their lowest state, riddled with hate, violence and abuse. I was expecting to look out at the poles outside the ghetto walls and see light, while inside I'd see darkness. What I saw shook me to the core. I stole a glance and I saw light. I saw love. I saw virtually zero domestic abuse. I saw virtually zero domestic violence. I saw children loving their parents. I saw families holding on for dear life. I saw homes filled with holiness and purity. I saw the sanctity of their Shabbos and the joy of their Sukkot. I saw the purity of their Yom Kippur and the sheer happiness of their Purim. I saw people maintaining their respect for human life in one of the most horrid places on the face of the earth. I walked away from the crack in the ghetto wall, back to the supposed brighter side of humanity, back to the streets of Warsaw, now rid of its Jews, now back to the homes with not even half as much light as the Jews beyond those walls. back to the domestic violence and abuse, back to the city where our utopian bliss has been promised to us by the Third Reich. I am not sure what true happiness looks like. But the Jews, from even behind the ghetto wall, seem to be a whole lot closer to it than we are. Because we are like fish in the sea. We go about our business, and outsiders are naively unaware of the beauty that lies deep within. We are fish within the land. Here's another story for you. Margaret Thatcher, commonly known as the Iron Lady, was the longest-serving prime minister in Britain's history. And she had a weekly meeting with the Queen of England, and they discuss various political happenings from around the country and around the world. And one week, Margaret walked into the Queen's inner chamber, and she froze. She looked at the Queen, and she looked at herself. She looked at the Queen, she looked at herself, and she realized that she had just committed one of the most egregious sins one could commit in the British Empire. She was wearing the same dress as the Queen. Mortified, she sat down and she sweated her way through the meeting. And afterwards, she quickly ran home and she took out a pen and paper and she wrote a letter to the Queen apologizing profusely for her deep disrespect of the kingship. And a few days later, she got a knock on her door and a messenger of the Queen was bearing a letter, and she opened it up and she read, "Dear Miss Thatcher, no need to apologize, no need to feel sorry, for the Queen does not notice what the simpletons are wearing. We bless our children that they should not be deterred by those who live on land and can't see our world within the ocean's blue. We bless our children that no matter where they are in life, they can become an Ephraim and a Manasseh. We stand over our child's crib and hope and cry and dream and pray that they too come to the recognition that a life of Torah is the best life and that anyone who tells them otherwise is merely living on land." Thank you.